The Holy Gospel is found in Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, hasn't been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me what for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptist. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oath and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with the orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard about this, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Here ends the gospel reading.
Praise to you,
Lord
Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace from God our Father and from his Son Jesus, who came to save the world from sin and from the Holy Spirit, who fills us, cleanses us, and leads us. Amen. Today we were going to take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Although it isn't clear from the English translation, the Greek text of this passage is made up of one very long run-on sentence. In other words, Paul started with this sentence in verse 3 with the phrase, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then proceeds to tell us what God has done without a pause, without a period, without stopping to take a breath until the end of verse 14. The Apostle Paul just couldn't stop talking. He starts praising God for one thing, which reminds him of the next thing, and the next, and the next, and it keeps building and building. This makes it a bit hard to follow sometimes, but can you blame Paul? He is so excited and wants to talk about the blessings we have as followers of Christ. When Ginger read from the Ephesians text just a few minutes ago, she paused. She stopped to take a breath. And the text she read now has four sentences. As Ginger read this text, did you hear some of the phrases that Paul, in his excitement, kept repeating over and over again? Now, unfortunately, the text is not in the bulletin. But repetition is important. During volleyball practice, we use a number of drills to work on various individual skills, such as passing, hitting, serving, etc. The hopes are that the more repetition each girl performs for the targeted skill, the better they will be at performing those skills in a game. The same is true for any sport. For basketball, repeated attempts at shooting free throws is important. In track, for athletes who are short distance runners and hurdlers, it is important to practice exploding out of the starting block. The same is true for swimmers. A good start off the starting block is important, especially in those short 50 and 100 meter events. A motivational speaker, Zig Ziglar, once stated, "Repetition is the mother of learning, the father of action, which makes it the architect of accomplishment." Think back to when you learned to ride a bike or drive a car. You needed to practice and learn the essential skills. Then it was all about the practice and more practice until you increased your confidence, improved your speed, and became skilled. Repetition, according to Webster's dictionary, is the act of repeating or doing or saying or writing something again and again. Growing up, you may have even been told a few times, "Do it again." And do it again. Repetition is how we learn. The phrase, "practice makes perfect," says it all. Repetition helps to improve speed, increase confidence, strengthens the connections in the brain that helps children and adults learn. I learned how to play the clarinet through lots of practice, lots of repetition. My parents had two requirements on my brothers, sisters, and I in regard to our musical instruments. The first was we needed to practice 1 hour every day. The second, because there were five of us practicing, we all practiced at the same time. Come to think of it, there was one more requirement. None of us could play the drums. Today's second lesson is filled with repetition after repetition. Paul, in his excitement, kept repeating phrases. One of the phrases Paul repeated is the praise of his glory. Paul used this phrase to divide the reading into three related thoughts, or affirmations, if you will. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 shows us how each person of the Trinity is actively involved in our salvation as God's people. The first affirmation was in verses 3 to 6, and it is that we are chosen by God. Our assurance as Christians does not find its foundation in our choosing God, but in God choosing us in Christ. Paul never thought of himself as having chosen God. It was the other way around. God had chosen him. This was also Jesus' words to the disciples in John chapter 15. "You did not choose me, but I chose you." The second affirmation, verses 7 through 12, is that we are redeemed by Christ through his blood. Through his death, Jesus released us from slavery to sin and gave us forgiveness of sins. Through his coming into the world, he made known the mysteries of God's will. The third affirmation, verses 13 to 14, is that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls us through the gospel and gives us the gifts of faith, so that we can believe in Jesus as our Savior. The Holy Spirit reveals God, makes effective in our lives the power of Christ's sacrifice, and seals us forever as belonging to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul stated that God has anointed us by putting his seal on us and giving us His Spirit in our hearts. And intertwined in each of these affirmations, we have the phrase, in Christ. And its close variations, through Him, in Him, repeated and repeated over and over again. This phrase appeared 10 times in today's lesson, and 34 times in the entire letter to the Ephesians. It is one of the key expressions, one of the key phrases of the letter to the Ephesians. We are told that in Christ we as believers have every special blessing. Yes, every special blessing. That is, every benefit of knowing God and everything we need to grow spiritually. Christ procured every special blessing for us through His finished work at Calvary. Now they are available to each and every one of us through Him. Everything that God has for the believer is in the Lord Jesus Christ, which we received when we were united with Him by faith. One theologian put it, to be in Christ, which is the portion of all who are saved, is to partake in all that Christ has done, all that He is, and all that He ever will be. Listen to the words of verse 7 again. In Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He has lavished on us. This phrase, in Christ, conveys the meaning of what God does for us through Christ, as well as depicts our unity with Christ. We are joined to the power and the presence of God. You cannot be a Christian without being in Christ. Christ is the beginning as well as the end. He is Alpha as well as the Omega. There are no blessings for Christians apart from Him. Paraphrasing this lesson, we hear, we who are in Christ are blessed with every spiritual blessing. We who are in Christ are holy and blameless, having been chosen in Him. We who are in Christ have been adopted as His sons and daughters, deserving all the privileges of being in His eternal family. We who are in Christ enjoy redemption through His blood. We who are in Christ are equipped with great wisdom and insight. We who are in Christ have understanding into the mysteries of God's great will. We who are in Christ have been given an inheritance. We who are in Christ have been brought under Christ's authority, protection, and responsibility. We who are in Christ have been marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. When we recite all of these marvelous works of God in Christ, it becomes an outburst of praise and an uplifting of our hearts to God. It is only in Christ that we experience the blessings of God. To be in Christ is to partake of all that Christ has done, all that He is, and all that He will ever be. Paul never tires of repeating over and over again in all his letters who God is and why He should be praised. God is the God who has made Himself known to us through Christ. We too, as Christians, should never tire of repeating over and over again who God is. Our loving relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, is not based on our good works, our right reason, our heightened emotions, or even our ability to make choices. Rather, it is based solely on our Savior, Jesus Christ. In and through Christ alone we have been saved. It is so easy for us to get caught up in the here and now, in the immediate stuff going on in our lives, that we forget we are spiritual creatures. We forget to pray. Our Bibles collect dust. We show up and sing but don't worship. Paul is reminding us that there is more to life than the immediate stuff around us. God desires us to experience his blessings in the here and now. Paul reminds us that we need to be repetitive in our spiritual lives as well. Spiritual practice is all about repetition and following routines. There is a need for us to return again and again to biblical texts and prayer. It is not unusual for a passage from the Bible to speak to us differently each time we read it. The Bible is endless in its capacity to reveal different meanings each time it is read and studied. You may even find biblical texts that disturbed you in one reading and soothed you in another. Being a believer, a Christian, you should involve doing certain things, performing certain activities on a regular, repeated basis, such as reading scriptures daily, praying, and attending church regularly. There is spiritual value in repetition and routine. Devotional life is deepened by repetition and routine. Variety is actually not the spice of the spiritual life. The spiritual life flourishes when we do the same thing over and over again. Just as learning works through repetition, so does our spiritual life. Do it again and again and again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help me to never grow weary of exploring and exalting in the inexhaustible privilege of being in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with our hymn. Hymn number 763, Let Justice Flow Like Streams.